today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, and they'll, the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Welcome into the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. You can be followed along social media, which, Bill, I'm off, at Jason D. Rossi. And you can also follow this here show over on the Twitter machine at Pop Culture PD. And you can also follow my sex god loving pink shirt wearing pecs be popping Billy Biceps himself, my tag team partner in the podcast fair when the podcast fair is popping. He is at Billy. I don't even know what your social media hand. Billy Yee 2411. No, got rid of that. Billy D 115. Doesn't matter. He's Billy D. What's going on, man?
Hello. Yeah, it's Billy underscore D 2411. Back in full force, hating on Patriots on Twitter. Oh. So
you know,
join
what?
Me
if
there.
If I can say one thing that is really refreshing. So I've actually dabbled back with Twitter. Like my push notification I opened, just for a quick overview. I took all of social media, all push notifications off my phone since February 1st. Glorious life I'm leading.
I've never had them. Probably for like 4 years.
Really? You never had a push notification?
Nope. Only text and calls.
So how do you know when people like will say things to you on like social media? Is like an Instagram, or are you just constantly like checking? Like
I'll
not
check
constantly
it.
Like obsessive, but like constantly.
I'm on it. So I have my phone in my hand constantly.
You never get like at
no
Billy
dating
D
apps,
or like
no nothing.
Wait,
no.
Not even dating? I mean, that seems like a character flaw.
Nope. Sorry. I have my time. Time's to me. Yeah, no, like I haven't ever had Twitter notifications on. I've never had IG notifications on. Back in the day, I probably had Facebook notifications on. So pretty much just text and phone, not even, and work email and Slack. That's about it.
Interesting. But back to my point, being off social media, I think I texted you this. I can't remember who I sent this to, but literally I couldn't be a more pleasant person to be around. I couldn't be happier because I don't get mad about things that mean nothing. Like literally, you would probably tweet something. Let's say you just said Patriots hate. Like if you would tweet something and it would pop in my like feed or something, I would just get upset for no reason. That was a big flaw. And this is like old elder statesman and the social media with the kids these days. Like TikTok don't even have it. But like I can only imagine. But I just would get – I noticed I was just getting upset about things. I'm like, let me try this. Instagram haven't even touched. I'm so scared to open Instagram again.
Detox, man. Got to do it every once in a while.
Feels better. anywho, but today, Bill, we are going to be talking about the sixth installment of the movie franchise Scream. Which I know there was a lot of debate about retitling this film franchise for this requel. What do they
requel.
Call this?
Yeah, not a
it's
prequel.
It's like a requel, like a prequel, series, requel. Whatever it is. We'll talk about that. Ooh, I like that. Hold that one.
They might have used that in the movie. Forget.
I don't think they used that one yet. That will definitely be used in the further installment. But definitely hold that one. Tweet it now. Put a copyright emoji on it. But let's bring in one of our horror fan enthusiasts, Scream expert. As you know, here is Benny Corfor. Benny Z, how we doing, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing? It's been a bit. Since
I think the
last
time we did a podcast, I think you were here, so it doesn't.
Yeah, it's been a while.
it's been that long. I'm doing great. I was super stoked for the movie. I did a big Scream marathon on the last Saturday before
on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Shabbat shalom to all of our friends out there. He was like Friday 5 o'clock. Let's put this. Just scream it all night.
The day our Lord, yes. I think it took like 10 hours or so to get through it. It was one of those I'm like way too hungover to do anything Saturdays, so I'm just going to sit on my couch and watch every Scream, which it was awesome. So I had a lot of fun. And then, went to see the movie on Friday afternoon, day of the release. But, super stoked to talk about it. A lot of thoughts, a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
A lot of opinions. Yeah.
I think that's so for me. And again, this could be a little bit of what I was talking about before being off social media. I didn't notice ads on the television that I watch. So I watch like realistically when it comes to, like actual live TV that has commercials. Like obviously I'm watching Last of Us. I feel like it's a lot of big popular show people watching, but no commercials there. I'm watching, obviously I watch every wrestling program, but I didn't see a lot of Scream advertising during that time. So this movie to me, I'm a YouTube watcher, but I got premium. Brag. I pay the like $4, which I think that is the must. If you are a YouTube watcher and you maybe you're watching this on YouTube, pony up for the premium. Like, what are
it's
you doing?
It's fantastic. It's the best thing you can do.
I could. I think that's. Oh, see, I'll get on Spotify one of these days. Yeah. But I think the premium YouTube is as the best ROI that I use in anything. My car, any services I have, literally, because you just watch it and there's never a commercial.
Especially
you get
probably
all
with
the
children.
Content. Yeah, well, with my kid, like, what return on investment am I spending on my kid?
No, but, like, when you show him, like, video on YouTube, there's no ad. And then there's no ad, like, being, daddy, get me this, too.
Yes, 100%. Sorry, I didn't know what you meant there. No, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Usually at my in-laws, because we try to keep a limit on the videos. We watch a lot of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood on the A word. I won't say it, cause because people's A words will be going off right now.
AOL blast.
Yes, and a lot of that AOL blast bullshit going on here. But when it came to the movie, so I saw it on Saturday night. Now, Bill, you also saw it on day of release. So I went into this. I actually didn't hear anything. And I said this to my wife on the ride to the movies, saying, this movie's probably going to suck because I've heard nothing. That's what I felt going in. So my opinion that we'll get into in just a moment is going into this movie thinking it's going to be terrible. So that's what I went into. So we heard Ben's kind of going into it all hyped up. What did the marathon? Yeah. I went into it being like, is anybody talking about this movie? And this movie kind of came out of nowhere to me. Billy, going into the film, what was your thoughts?
So it was a quick turnaround, right? It felt like this movie came out of left field. And I had not seen The Scream since last year when we did our Scream rewatch besides Scream 1, which was one of my all-time favorite movies just in general. Definitely my favorite horror movie. So I went into this with high expectations because I watched them all basically within a month for the first time, 2 through 4. Then we saw 5 right after that. I thought 5 was fantastic. So I went in with high hopes and I left the theater being like, that was pretty fucking good.
Okay, Billy, there you go. I guess we got Billy's opinion there on how he left the movie. So I'm going to tell you what – when the movie ended, I was waiting for a scene because the lights didn't go up. Did the lights go up in your theater once that you saw, like, the ghost face again when they cleaned the knife?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my theater did not. So I said, something's coming. And I'm like, here comes Sydney. I remember I do remember the last thing I heard was like, there's something with Sydney. And I'm like, oh, totally forgot about it, literally till this moment. And we saw like a later showing, like 9:30. So I'm like, here it comes. Me and my wife are sitting there. Everyone's getting up and leaving. And they got to that awkward point where there was only like, it was a smaller theater. And I'm like, there's only like 6 other people here. Maybe there was 40 in it. And so I pull up the old phone. I'm like, is there a scene? And then there was the Mindy. It was like a quick Mindy thing. I don't know if you guys, did you guys see this?
No.
Well, right. Yeah, I walked out immediately.
Sorry, spoilers ahead. I forgot we should have said that. Mindy, somehow, we'll talk about people being alive in a minute.
She's
but,
the female twin, right?
Correct. Yeah. And she just basically said, not every movie needs to have a mid-credits. It got a laugh out of people, but then I was like, there's going to be more. And then the lights came up. I was like, you kept the lights off for that? But anyway, I was hoping they were going to almost make like a pun at the Avengers, like Sydney will return. And Scream or something. Yeah. I was kind of expecting something. But anyways, so when the movie was over, here's my quick, like, at the end of it. So, Billy, you thought it was pretty good or whatever you just said. For me, I thought it made the last one seem better, and I really liked this movie. This movie was intense. This movie made me go, there is no more – like, there is rules, but this movie, there was barely any jump scares that didn't have Ghostface. So I was like, we were full-blown go for whatever. This movie was probably about an hour and 40-something minutes.
202.
Yeah. Was it actually 202, or was that the movie time?
That was the movie time. So, like, the runtime was probably – the actual, like, you know, start to finish of the actual movie was probably just under, like, 145, 150.
Yeah. Okay. In terms of pure, like – runtime, it's the longest outside of Scream 2 by a couple
no
of minutes.
No way.
Interesting. Yeah. Good fact by Ben there, because I was just going to ask. It feels like they're about 90 minutes apiece, and this one did feel, I want to say, felt longer after, but during, I wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the signs of me believing. I really enjoyed this movie. Again, I'm not solidified on my opinion because I want to hear kind of what you guys said, because I wonder if I'm missing certain things. But Ben, what did you think after the film?
I thought it was great, and I was probably, out of the three of us, I was probably the one with the most information and whatnot. I don't know how much you looked into it, Billy, and stuff, but I did a lot of writing and a lot of researching, and I did some handicapping of the killer stuff.
I like that.
And I we did some content on like Rotten Tomatoes, like what the score was. So I knew it was getting pretty good reviews going in. Like the initial Rotten Tomatoes score was like 78%, which good for reviews is very
good. And for a horror movie.
Now, but let me see. But yeah, it settled around like an 80%. So I was like, okay, it's going to be pretty good. Right now the audience score is 92%. So everyone's kind of digging it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I loved it. I thought it was better than Five Cream by a decent margin. Some of the kill sequences were really well done. You can tell they really relished the chance to film the movie in a different location and do it in New York, where you can get a really creative with like the subway scene and the bodega and the ladder. I mean, the ladder, like that might be the ladder scene might be the most suspenseful scene in any Scream movie like ever.
I still think it's Sydney crawling out of the cab. That one fucking had me terrified.
Oh yes, that's the most. But I agree. But
that's really close though.
This movie kind of felt a little ad libs on Scream 2 in moments, like what you just said, Bill. Because I said this is like the same scene. In the tense department.
We can dive into it right now because Mindy, the girl who's Randy's niece. Right?
Yeah. Correct.
She did the whole, let's recap this. We're in, you know, a requel sequel. And when you think about it, the movie played out like Scream 2, and they kind of winked at it. But, you know, once you get to the killers, it's the same thing. They're revenging the killer from the first movie. So I really liked how meta the movie was without having to be meta. Like they hit on it for like, what was that scene? Maybe like 4 minutes on the benches. And it's like the classic Scream scene. They're outside being like, you're probably it. You're probably it. It's the cute boyfriend. And it wound up being the parents or, you know, the family, which was the same thing from two. But I really didn't see it coming until the very end.
So I didn't see the family element. I thought that I can't think of his name. My best friend's wedding, whatever that guy is, whoever the actor Dermot played the cop. Mulroney. Thank you, Dermot there. Whatever his name is. Yeah, I felt like. I said to my wife at one point, I go, it just feels like him. I don't know why. It just felt like him. The other two didn't really call it. The family element clearly didn't see that coming. I liked it too, because what they did with this movie, I thought they took everything they did in Cream Pie Scream and they basically turned it up by like 150%. Like, I feel like not having Sydney actually helped this film. Mm-hmm. I thought they actually focus on the Mike saying the Carpenter sisters, is that their last name?
Yeah,
I think so. So I thought they really focused on them, and I really like them now. Like I liked them in the first film or in five, but I really like them now. Like I'm really pulling to see where this story continues to go. I thought that they just came across well. I think Jenna Ortega, I'll be honest, like I'm waiting for the moment, and maybe again this is my lack of social media. Like, is she like the it queen for like young teens now? Because she did Wednesday, she's done two Screams. Like, she doesn't play your prototypical Disney like roles. I feel like
just
she
did SNL.
Uh-huh. Oh, she did SNL. I did not know that.
Yeah, she
was. She like Queen? Is it like Queen?
She's huge.
Is it Queen Jenna now? Is everyone?
Yeah, she's
like
probably
her?
One of the top female actresses, because like the other ones have kind of gone into like, you know, they're, you know, like mid-20s, you know, early 30s now. She's like the young superstar, and she was great. The older sister I thought was fantastic, and the movie was pretty much nonstop action to the end. I think that's why it felt quick, and I would have never guessed that this was one of the longest Screams. I knew it was a 202 runtime, which is kind of long for a horror movie, but I was on the edge of my seat. Like you said, the kills were fantastic. Oh, and yeah. These ghost faces were vicious.
Yeah. And let's just go quick plot points with this. And I want to say one thing that was very, I thought one thing they did, they finally made three count, by the way. Credit to Scream 6 for making three matter again, make Scream 3 great again. Because it literally didn't matter until this film. Everything they mentioned slightly in the last one, but now this one, they actually mentioned Roman. They actually mentioned like he was a solo killer, credit to him. Like they actually made the film. The movie's trash. I'm sorry. I can't get over it. Hard watch, hard skip all the time on me, but now they made it worth it. But I thought the element of the masks and the like going in backwards order for a reason made the movie like making sense, taking that all the sense in this movie's out. When the guy has a shotgun and he's missing people, like we got to take that all out because there was a lot of bull crap with that. But I thought the idea of not just the killers, like the story, Billy, you mentioned with the family, but the actual idea of how they went like in reverse order of killers, the return of Kirby, awesome. Like almost made the almost gave me like I forgot because again I forgot about that element until when she popped on the screen. I almost had like this like moment, like this like I'm a wrestling fan, like a return of somebody. I was like, holy smokes, is she
my god, that's her music.
Yeah. That's gonna be Kirby, my god. But I just thought the movie had the pacing, and we just kind of mentioned this, that's what made it great. And like the mask element, there was just so many little things. I thought they just did an overall better job of like not feeling the pressure to make a great movie and just make a movie where I feel like the last one, maybe there's a little pressure on them to make, again, lack of better term, Scream great again in the last film.
Well, The thing that I want to touch on real quick is, you know, Scream has its things, right? There's the opening scene. There's the ending part. There's usually a recap of what's going on by a character in it, very self-aware. But that opening scene, I want to know what you guys thought, because I actually loved it. I liked that they were decoy killers that we knew from the past. I really like the first kill. That's probably the most one of the most iconic things from the first movie is that they get Drew Barrymore and she's in the movie for 6 minutes. Yeah. So I loved that first scene using, you know, the new, you know, cell phone dating app, like come out to the alley. I really thought they nailed that.
Billy's next move on the app. I get it.
Got it.
No, not the like, murder part. Yeah. I meant just like come out to the alley. Let's just get it done.
But it's tough to hit that scene. And I thought they did.
Yeah. And like I was going into it, I was so convinced that Samara Weaving was going to be like the killer because she was in Ready or Not and she was badass in that. And she's somewhat high profile. Like if you think of all the actresses and actors in that movie, other than like Dermot Mulroney, who's been in a lot of stuff, it's really like Jenna Ortega and then Samara Weaving are two like high profile names.
I wanted to say, just on that point, I agreed with you when because I remember her she getting cast because these were the people who did Ready or Not. And then she also was in the Babysitter movies.
Right. Yeah,
and she plays a great, like, likable villain.
Crazy. She does crazy really good.
And so I thought the same thing because that's kind of what we talked about in the last film. I forget the actress' name, the younger, the girlfriend, I guess.
Mikey Madison.
Yes. And, like, that was the same thing. Like, she plays a great crazy. So I thought the same thing as you, but continue.
Yeah. I thought she was going to be it. And then when the trailers came out and she wasn't in it at all, and then all that, they were clearly doing what Billy said with Drew Barrymore, where they got this sort of high profile actress and they're just going to kill her off in the opening scene. So my opinion flipped on that pretty quickly. I like what they did with it, though, right? They went in a different direction where, you know, you're kind of like usually you're waiting for that cut scene where it goes to the opening where it goes to Scream, and they never really did that. And then
They showed the killer's face and you're like, shit, are we in for a different kind of movie? Because on the Dork podcast, they theorized the next one could be from the killer's perspective, which I thought would be kind of cool. And just have the dramatic irony on the screen of you knowing who the killers is, but them trying to figure it out. But like that apartment scene was also really well done. And when you knew what was happening when he was opening the freezer, but it was still a nice payoff.
I agree, though. I thought that opening was a little game-changing, and they needed it. Like, I think that also set the tone, because, Ben, you might have said this, like, going to New York, like, we set a whole new precedent with everything. So I thought that was a good way to be like, this is not like the other movies. We didn't know how close it would be in any element, but once, like, the whole dating app scene, the way they did that, the way he revealed himself, and he's, what was that, with the guy from Spider-Man, his buddy there.
There's another worry.
Yes, he was good, When they took the mask off and you saw his face, I was like, what are we? And that's what I was kind of like, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. Then when he walked away, then I started to believe when he got home, he's like, hey, and he got the call. I'm like, is this going to be the cult? Like, are we going into a cult element? Like, is it going to be a bunch of killers? Because I think we kind of talked about in the last one, we kind of thought that's what could happen. Then when like the ghost face kills him. And by the way, the dude, the friend in the fridge there, just annihilated that body. We have never seen, like, I'm talking like, what did he use? Or they use like a chainsaw? Like that was cut off, head cut off, body parts, limbs destroyed. Like, good Lord.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. I did like, and I watched some videos beforehand and that kind of like to refresh my memory. I did like that they asked him what it felt like to do the opening kill, and he kind of went into it a little bit. And like Billy was saying, where they, you know, killer's perspective kind of thing. They did do that a little bit. Obviously, it wasn't the whole movie from the killer's perspective, but you do get that kind of insight into,
it was
into
cool.
how the killer feels, which was super – yeah, it was super cool.
Yeah, it was dark. It was kind of twisted. Like, it felt good.
Yeah.
It felt like Rush.
And you really – like, you don't really know where exactly it's going. Like, is it going to be this chain kind of thing where, like, it keeps – because a lot of people theorize that it would be some sort of cult. And to an extent, it was sort of a Ghostface cult with Richie and like these disciples that, you know, his family kills off because they were trying to do that whole. So it's almost like them killing that idea from the first movie and moving on to the second kind of movie, which I think was a good transition for the opening scene.
Agreed. I just want to point out one major flaw that like was hard to not take notice of, and maybe you guys caught this or not, but I kept saying it to my wife. There was massive. So we talked a little bit about the death on the ladder, right? So that's Mindy's girlfriend dies right in front of her. She cries while like they show that shot. Every scene after that, this girl wasn't traumatized at all. Like, it was just like, nah, I didn't just see my girlfriend fall off a ladder and die. No big deal. Every time there was a death that like a character we should care about, nobody cared. Literally nobody cared. They were we're moving. Like, yeah, keep it moving. We're good. Like, yeah, shit. People die, I guess.
It's the Woodsboro crew, man. They're kind of used to it. And that girl is also the girl from Yellow Jackets who eats people in that show. So,
cool.
Shout out to her. She's fantastic. Great actress. But I didn't really pick up on that because I think like I'm just so desensitized to everything, especially.
Billy, you're not desensitized. The freaking writers are desensitized. Yeah, literally. I get shot right now and you guys keep doing the pod and my dead body's right here. And it's just like, yeah, so then that next scene.
You totally would.
But, you know, if there's a killer still trying to get all of us, you know, you're gone. What am I going to do for you? You got to keep
those
moving
the rules.
On.
Those are the rules.
No trauma. Also, stabbing, no longer a pain point. It's like, it might as well be somebody just like attack.
My only problem. One of the twins should have died. I definitely think the boy twin should have been dead. God.
You think the guy got stabbed 70 times?
I didn't want him to go.
Neither.
But yeah, it definitely looked like he was done. But then you're like, no, he's Dewey. Because that happened to Dewey like multiple times. So they're just like, he's Dewey. He's going to get stabbed a billion times. And at the end, they're going to be like, yeah, he's barely hanging on.
We got a breather.
I mean, Paul Pierce got stabbed, I think, like 17 times, and he was playing basketball in a few weeks. So
Benzino.
It can happen, but like that, no, I didn't like that.
Mindy also got stabbed in the stomach.
Like
in the
up
stomach.
In, and like it was held there for a while.
Yeah, and then I can't even think of her name. General Tegas' character, when she's like, let me go. And like, I thought there was going to be this like badass scene where she stabs him. Yeah. She falls, gets stabbed in the back for a second time earlier in the film when they're making out. The freaking ghost face just pops out of nowhere like you're playing Friday the 13th, the video game back in the day. Stabs her in the back. She never had pain, though. She was in no pain. Maybe it's because she's bulletproof or stab-proof from the last movie. She got stabbed like 100 times in the opening. I don't know. I've never been stabbed, so maybe that does it. You get like – like immunity?
Knock on some wood there. But I would say, like, once I saw who the killers were, because my biggest complaint was, you know, these guys get knocked down and they're down for a while. But they were both, like, one was a small girl and one was a skinny dude. So I kind of get, like, that they could be, like, knocked out. My only problem with every Scream movie and every horror movie is, like, if I'm the twin, the big jack dude, I knock a guy down, I beat him till he's dead.
He did some of that. He
did.
If you see in that scene, he's beating the hell out of, I guess it's Dermot Mulroney or one of them or one of the kids. And then he's about to finish the person off, but then gets hit from behind by the other one.
Yeah. But that was after many other times where they're just like, keep running. It's like, no, you got him down. Step on him.
Yeah.
I thought maybe the coolest scene of the movie, which is, this might be hard to pick. And now obviously we're just kind of freestyling reviewing here. I thought the scene when the two ghost face clean the knife simultaneously after stabbing Chad a million times was literally
that was
like,
cool.
That was an awesome scene. Like, credit to whoever put that piece together, because that is like, you're gonna see that, I feel like, in like quick clean like clicks of horror movie, like any like reels moving forward, because that was an epic scene.
Well, that leads me to this. Is this now the Star Wars of horror, where they've created so many tropes within their universe that you know stuff is coming? And one of my favorite things about the Scream universe, and they were told this, and they know this, the killer always comes back for one final gasp. And once everybody was dead, they're sitting there, I don't know if you guys were, but the person that I was, the person next to me was like, somebody's coming back. Somebody's coming back. There's going to be one more. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And like the way they killed, I think it was the kid.
Ethan. Yeah.
Yeah, the stew move. It was a little like awkwardly executed, but I loved it.
He also was stabbed in the mouth through like the back of his head. And he's all right. I'm telling you, knives don't matter in this film, in this series. You got to get the guns. That was also a great scene. Seeing Ghostface with a shotgun, badass. Like, that was badass.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that also does sort of play back to, and I think this is my one big problem, not so much problem with the movie, but it was very, it was very predictable who was behind it. Or they put a lot of clues out there, right? With the whole shrine, like who's getting access to that old evidence? It's going to be a cop. So you're picking between Dermot Mulroney or Kirby for who might have it, you know, that kind of deal. And then Quinn earlier in the movie mentions a dead brother. So instantly me being the galaxy brain of it, thought Vince Snyder and went right back to Stu Mocker and all that and thought that they might connect it there. But then you're like, oh, dead brother, like it's got to relate to some sort of family, right? And then boom, that's kind of where you put it together with Richie. They sort of did an okay job with the trying to kill off Quinn to sort of get you off her trail. I wasn't convinced at all when she died that she was dead. They didn't show her at all. I was like, okay, cool. And then it's really just picking between Ethan and Danny for who's the male one that's in, and that was sort of all Danny was there for.
My boy Josh Segura?
Yes, yeah.
That
everyone
guy.
Was using him. He was good. And
he's great at everything. He just plays the classic, like goofy, like hot guy.
Dope.
He's the man. He's in a show called Sirens that I love. He's phenomenal. I thought he was a nice mislead. And my whole thing with like the killers, I was with you, Ben, when they said police would be able to get this. Yeah. But I'm so locked in on just enjoying the movie usually with the stream that I'm not like I probably am thinking about it, but it's more just like in passing, like the part like the stream is one of the only movies where I watch it and I'll be like, I think it's this guy. Like I don't talk during movies, but I always want to be like, oh, you see that? Like I love it's like watching a sporting event to me.
It's a ride. It's a ride. And I will say I agree with one of the things you said was like when you started with the Kirby, I actually thought that was a pretty good throw. Like when the cop was like, Kirby doesn't work at the force anymore. Yeah. She's known like, you know, she's hasn't been the same since. I was kind of like, huh.
And they mentioned,
no, see, maybe it's because I was part of the ride. I'm like, that's a pretty good, because it's like ever since Ghostface returned last year, she's lost it. Cause that would make sense to the, this was the first time there was any psychological damage to a character.
No, because in like one of the early scenes, he says, run a background check on her.
Yeah.
And like that would have came out like instantly. That was like,
probably.
Again, we're talking
before.
Like
once like,
he
were said
stabbed
that,
in the mouth and survived. Shotguns were missed from me, like to my right here. It was like watching The Town again.
But for me, that was shots. Him just being like a dick and like misleading them. I knew right away once he said that, I was like, all right, he's the killer. Because there's no way she was bringing him in there and locking them in there like that. And that was going to be it.
Here's my question about the, you know, getting into the killers. And this is what I'm just thinking of this now. Mm-hmm. So he's a, is he a, what was he? Was he the head of the police or was he just
exactly.
a police? Okay.
Yeah.
In New York City. So two things. One, nobody knows that's the dad to a guy who died. Nobody know, like social media, all these things today, somehow not only the dad of your boyfriend you never met, whatever, that can happen, but like there's no like when he dies, like family on television, anything. Okay, whatever, we'll go there.
Oh, for the love of God, you think the carpenters like wouldn't have done a background check on the girl that was living with them?
Well, they said they did. They said they vetted her. They did all stuff. Fine, you can fake that. I'm still going to give a little bit. How the hell did they get to New York then? Like, how did he know to be a police? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how did that all just fit? Like, he's a police officer in New York. They decide to go to New York. He's going to do this big I know. This is what I was kind of – at one point, I'm like, wait a second. Did he move there or was he there the whole time and they fell into –
He transferred there once she went to college. And obviously we know now that that's why. Because
he clearly changed his identity at some point, right? Yes. Like, he – His it's Richie Kirsch and he's Detective Bailey.
Yes.
So at some point He disguises identity. The kids' identities are disguised because Ethan's last name is different. Quinn's last name is different. So I like I see where you're going, Rossi, where you're like breaking it down like a lot. But I think it's really just like. Like Billy said, it's a movie.
Oh, no, I get it. I just thinking about it now. I'm like, wait, just a second. He's not like he's just like he's running one of the bodegas. This is a freaking police officer. Yeah. On top of this, we haven't even touched upon the scene with Gail Weathers, who in the I'm and I mean, with all due respect, I'm a piece of crap. I look like crap. I'm horrible. Courtney Cox, she's hard to watch on film. I know that sounds really bad, but she's done this weird thing where she is aging, which is great. I like when people age because that's reality. But she also had so much plastic surgery when she did like Cougar Town. So she's in that. Her face looks just so bizarre. Hard to watch. But besides the point. Sorry for the disrespect, Courtney Cox. I know she's listening. But her character in this movie was weird. Like, I feel like they didn't know exactly what to do with her. I liked her in Kirby's tension and kind of playing back to that from Scream 4. But the scene in her apartment or wherever she was with her boyfriend, who might have been like the actual biggest dude in the movie, aside from hunky boyfriend guy, he gets wiped out like he's a foot soldier in the Ninja Turtles, like just grabbed by who's strong enough to just grab that guy and take all of his body weight. And then just, I don't even know if he was stabbed or not. He was just dead in the corner. Gail Weathers gets pwned, stabbed again, like a bunch of times, like killed. And she's still breathing.
Yeah. I thought about this a lot because going into the movie, I was like, Gail's dead. Like, they're killing her off. They have to kill her off. I want to say Neve Campbell backing out had a little bit to do with that, because I think if Sydney's in the movie, Gail dies. And I don't know if Kirby's back. So I think like they had this whole thing set up and it kind of like – it's kind of got wiped out. So I think going into it, they wanted Gail to survive and get into the next movie so that they would have that sort of female.
They needed a legacy character.
Yeah, they need the legacy character. Like, they can't go into Scream 7 without, like, with just Kirby and the possibility that Sydney doesn't come back at all. So I think bringing Gail back is good. The scene is really good in her apartment.
Intense.
They build the tension a ton. There's parts where you're like, oh, this is where she gets it, and like it doesn't happen, and she's running, like she puts up a fight.
A lot of foreplay in the scene.
She does the Star 69 thing from Scream 2, which I really I really appreciated. Where Jada Pinkett Smith's like Star 69 his ass, and she did that.
Yep.
There were a ton of like callbacks to Scream 2 that I thought were like genius. Even I'll bring it up because you were talking about it before, but if you remember Scream 2, it was like the copycat where the killer was killing off like people that were the same name as the original movie. And the masks are kind of, I think that's similar to what the masks represented.
But at least the masks had follow through.
Yeah.
Sadly in Scream 2, they just kind of stopped.
Yeah. They kind of stopped doing it.
I still don't get that.
The mask created this shroud of like kind of mystery of who it could be. But going back to Gail, the sequence was really good. Like I said, I think they kind of had the idea of killing her off and just couldn't. But I think it does set up interesting stuff for Scream 7. If you want to have her be like cotton weary in Scream 3 and she's the opening killer for Scream 7, could be good.
I got a feeling that also she originally was dying in this film. I think that she died in that end scene. She says goodbye. Don't tell Sydney they killed me, even though you're a famous writer and your death will be reported. But nonetheless, don't tell him. Don't tell him anybody. But I think she did die there, and then they decided to bring her back. Because remember, we never saw her again. They just said Mindy and Gail are like, okay, get
yeah.
Mindy's
I'm assuming on that's way. One like of those things where they filmed two scenes. Where one of them was like, Gail's dead, but Mindy's still alive. And then once they figured out, okay, we need her for Scream 7, they went with, you know, we'll keep Gail, the idea of her being alive at least. She was in really bad shape when we left her. I thought she was going to die until they had the pulse. I don't mind not killing her off because, like you said, you kind of need that legacy character. But I think with the Carpenter sisters, we're in a really good spot going forward with Scream if they want to continue to do it, if they don't feel like they're Neve Campbell at some point and back out. But both of them, I think, are excellent. I want to know what you guys thought about the Billy stuff again, because it's interesting, the ghosts. But it's one of those things where I liked it better in this movie because it only popped up like once or twice, and they had him like inside behind like glass. You couldn't tell how fucking old he looked because he looked
skeet, 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 skeet.
But yeah. I kind of liked, like, you knew she was gonna like stab, like, when once she like had him and he's like, no, don't do it, and then she kills him again. I was like, that's in fantastic. I like just a little bit that they had in this one. I thought the other one was, that was one of my drawbacks of Scream 5. They did a little bit too much with that.
I'll shock you. I thought they wasn't enough because I have a feeling that not only tonight's going to be a good night, but that clearly we're setting up a major heel turn for Sarah.
No.
Like, yeah, absolutely. I think her goal is to kill Nev. I think that's it's to kill Sydney. I have this, my gut feeling is the future of this film franchise is she turns heel to live out like what her father wanted to be, or because this story can't be just, oh, she's a good guy that is a killer. Like, that's not, doesn't make sense.
I think what will happen,
Darth Vader, dude, she's gonna turn, she's going dark side. It's happening.
If that happens, my theory will be she will kill somebody preemptively thinking it was the killer and turns out not to be. I don't see her becoming Ghostface though.
She's Ghostface. I think they had a chance to like sort of nod to that, and they went in the other direction, but I still,
she's fighting. She's fighting her heritage. She's fighting her bloodline. She is going to kill Neve Campbell. End of the movie. Everyone goes home sad. I don't know about that.
At this point, like I know like the idea is to do like another trilogy and sort of end it and tie a knot on it at some point. The popularity is like through the roof. This Scream 6 is doing really well. If the studio keeps wanting to do stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if they went and did like a Scream 8 or a Scream kind of like a post 7.
Do we get to Scream 10 and they go to space?
We can only hope.
There needs to be like just one of those stupid movies that they just pull off because they can.
But I have thoughts on the Billy Loomis stuff. I don't agree with I'm not with either of you on that. I didn't really like it at all in this movie. I understood it in Scream 5 because you have to kind of set up that whole, like her whole deal with, you know, she's the daughter of a serial killer, that kind of thing. Like, you know, she's kind of got these thoughts, like you got to set it up. I would have liked it a lot better. And I think it would have like played better to like her character maybe turning heel, like you're saying, Rossi, like if she talked to herself. Or if it wasn't, or if we didn't get that goofy like view of Skeet Ulrich, and it was just a voiceover,
I would have preferred that. Yeah.
Really kill them all, killer, sweetheart.
I think if we didn't have his stupid, not stupid. That's a bad way to put it. If we didn't have his like goofy face and like him, them kind of just, because why is he?
He doesn't have to be.
He doesn't need to be in the movie.
No,
like do his voice. Like do a voiceover. I think.
Well, I thought that shooting his mask, his like silhouette thing, whatever it was, mannequin, just the voice would have been perfect. I did like that he wasn't like a full person in the thing either. Yeah. So I thought like they probably got to a happy medium. But I'm with you. Just the voice. You didn't even really need him at all because you kind of already set it up. But
that's what I
needed Skeet. All right, I love Skeet Ulrich. He could be in every movie. You know what? Two things really quickly on that. One, thank you. I want to say thank you to whoever brought up about the parents, because remember her mother was like across country in the last film. I'm like, where is her mother in this one? They're like, yeah, the mother like disowned them, which is messed up. Bad mother, very bad mother. But beside the point, tied knot on that, and then. Also with this, they finally hit the Stu stuff. Like, I thought that was really well done with Kirby. Like, I heard that he was still alive. And it's like, no, that was just a rumor on the internet or something. And then they tied off the death. I thought that was nice, too.
So Mindy has that scene with Kirby where she's kind of like, if you believe that.
Oh, yes, that does how she ends up. Yeah, right.
I'm going to still leave out hope that they might go in that direction. There's a lot of good, like, theories and ways that you could write him into it that I think wouldn't be too far-fetched and campy and like too much. Plus like I know Matthew Lillard isn't like, he's not in his 20s anymore and he's not going to be able to I'm guessing he won't be able to put together that enthusiasm as a killer again, but
I don't think he does a really good job as no one. He does a great job as Shaggy. To this day, he's still Shaggy in the cartoons. If you ever go on HBO, I watch a lot of Scooby-Doo these days. Not educational for kids, but we watch it.
Give me Scream Abroad, Stu starting the movie by killing their mother, Billy's wife. Ooh. That'll be my thing.
I don't think they got married, but I like it.
I have a crazy theory about what they could do in the next movie if they do tie in Sid or Sam's mother. Because they mentioned the mother. Sam's mother has to come up at some point. And if you're thinking about it like they're gonna make it exactly like Scream 3, except they'll do it better, I think.
Okay.
If they do it exactly like Scream 3, it's gotta be linked. It's gotta be a character that's linked to Sam, right? In some way, Sam and Tara.
Got a brother. They gotta have a
relative,
brother.
Some long lost thing. I have a far fetched theory. We can go into it.
Just hit it. Dude, don't tease us. You give it to us, Big Ben.
So Billy and Sidney have sex in Scream 1.
Yes, they did.
My far-fetched theory is that Sydney is Sam's mother. Is that crazy, or is that possible, or is it? What are we?
Shit.
Could there be a scenario where Sydney conceived Billy's child? I think I said this in the last.
I feel like you brought this up because I know I've heard this, and
she would have given her away because it was a serial killer baby.
Potentially, yeah. Like it was a
dude.
It was,
this makes so much sense for my theory. Then she
didn't
want to
have the kid. So then she gives up Sam for adoption. Sam's mother, like this would explain a lot why Sam's mother really never really liked her, right?
Yeah.
Because they find out that, like, one, the dad find, I don't know, maybe it's far-fetched because the dad left after finding out that it wasn't her daughter, but maybe there's something else there because they did say that Sam, I'm going off like on a.
Well, isn't that the kind of thing with Scream 3 too, that like Sydney's mother was
the actress
raped and like her baby was conceived, like Sydney was conceived like by a bad person, right?
That's true. I mean, if they can sort of connect it and make it work, that kind of makes sense for what they would do with Scream 3. But then I guess are you lining it up for Sydney to be the killer or something? Like,
no, well, I mean, Sam then avenges, like, you gave
I like that
up.
Better than Sam being the killer.
Sam, I'm telling you both right now, Sam is turning into, whether it's actually shown on film or not, she's going to be a serial killer. That
okay.
is what, she's trying to fight it. The reason we're seeing Skeet Ulrich, the reason you both hated, is that he is trying to show her this is who you really are.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I don't know how this is being played out right in front of us.
If that happens, are they lining it up where Tara takes over as being the main character?
Probably.
And Jenna Ortega kind of takes over the franchise. They kill off Sam because she was the killer, and then they do more movies where it's all Jenna Ortega.
I think Jenna Ortega plays a good Robin. I think she's the Robin.
I think it could go this way, that Sam turns into Ghostface, kills Sydney, then Tara has to battle with, like, what does she
do?
Do I turn her in? Do I, like, try to help her? Do I work against it? There's a lot you can do with this. It's Dexter. She's turned into Dexter.
I like it a little bit.
All right. Thank you. That's all I need. I want to just say, Bill, before you go there, I want to give a lot of credit to Scream for this also. When Ish was getting real in that theater or wherever it was, it turned into sexy time. The tops came off, boys. They were wearing sweaters, and it was like, it's time to get into it. The men, sleeves are rolled up. Shirts got Chad's shirt tighter. Hunky guy, they disappeared, but he looked hot throughout the movie. Let's give credit where credit's due, men and women. But the ladies, Sam and Tara, it was like
Sam walked in, she unzipped the hoodie. I was like,
yeah,
all right, nice wife beater tank top. Let's go.
When I'm gonna get into a war with an assailant, I want to wear the least amount of clothes as possible. A lot of skin. Let me see as much skin as possible.
In the house party, Chad doesn't have a shirt on.
Nope.
The whole time. It was a very sexy scream.
It was
overall.
And I want to say one thing. I actually feel maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm biased. I said this to my wife as well as soon as we left the theater. That guy, Frank, don't think he was a bad guy. Don't think he did anything actually wrong. Hear me out.
Which guy was Frank?
Frank was the guy who got beat up and tased in the nuts because Jenna Ortega's character, yes, drunk.
No,
yes, drunk.
Not sleep rapey. No.
No, yeah, I didn't see. Maybe
cool.
I'm wrong.
Yeah,
and I'm
so cool.
Hold on. Hear me out. Hear me out.
I don't know. You're bashing Courtney Cox. You're encouraging.
She looks rough. She looks rough. But here's what I'm saying. The guy, they were having a friendly conversation. She didn't appear to be inebriated right away. They go over. He's like, I have whatever. It was like, whatever, schnapps up in my room or whatever.
Fireball.
Well, there's a red flag. Okay, agreed. But then she's like, yeah, sure, F it. I'll go up there. And then all of a sudden, if you notice, then she got like somehow when she walked away. It's like the movie didn't realize we have to make her seem more drunk. Only on the stairs did she seem all stumbly. Like, ooh. And then Chad comes over. He's like, yo, bro, she's good down here. And the guy's just like, hey, listen. And she's like, I'm good. Like, don't do this. And he's like, okay, cool.
Well,
then
he starts pulling her.
Yes, but then I swear, like, they the filmers were like, oh, we got to make this guy seem worse. And then he gets tased in the balls and, like, beat up. I don't know. I feel like he got a bad rap.
No, so screw that. Like, screw that guy. Right. They handled that scene poorly, though. Like you said, I don't think, like, they set up Jenna Ortega to be really drunk. She didn't really seem that drunk. Then she did. Then she, like, wanted to do something stupid. But it doesn't seem like – it didn't seem in her character to do that. And plus, we find out that Chad and Tara have, like, this thing. So, like, if Chad and Tara have this thing and it's before this scene, it makes no sense for Tara to want to do that because she's been, like – they clearly have feelings for each other. And this wasn't something that happened after that incident.
Yeah, so, the only way this works is if she sees Chad flirting with another girl. But Chad is actually just trying to, you know, wingman his buddy. The thing that I want to tackle really quickly is the killers in Scream, right? It's usually in pairs, you know, three threw it off the curve. And I think Scream suffers from a little bit of Orson Welles-ness where I don't think you could have come up with a better scenario than the first Scream movie, how they did the killers, how they set it up, and the reveal. So I think you're always working towards that. And I don't know if it will ever be topped. I liked this last set of killers. I thought it was fun. I thought it worked. But I don't know if you can come up with a scenario that's better than the final scene of the first Scream. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. Like, if you hit a home run your first time up, it's going to be tough to top that.
Yeah. I agree with that. Nothing will really top that last scene in Scream 1. But, like, I don't know. Do you want anything to top that? Like, is that sort of
I kind of see what you're saying there. Like, you don't want your favorite player to ever – somebody to come along and be better than him. Yeah. But I do – I wouldn't necessarily mind it at this point because I feel like we're – like, this Scream franchise, especially now, going into the next movie, is completely removed – in my mind from that set of movies in the standpoint of, like, I'm not necessarily comparing it to the first Scream 100%. Like, I feel that we're in a different universe in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all continuation at this point. I feel like you can pair them and, like, you can pair them to all the other movies. But it kind of just stacks up on itself and you sort of let it, like, You know,
like, I'm comparing the tentpole moments of Scream movies, but, like, one is just, like, in a glass case, like, that's a perfect horror movie. And there are certain elements of Screams along the way that I think hit that. Like, there was some perfect horror movie moments in this, but, like, that last scene, I think they can get better killers and a better reveal. I think that's just the only thing that they're always dealing with is, like, the weight of the first Scream.
Well, so think of it this way. The first Scream is making fun of horror movies in general, right? Mm-hmm. And it's sort of playing off of this, like, there are rules, all of that. And every other Scream after that is basically making fun of the original. And making fun of it all just goes back and, like, starts making fun of the one previously, sort of. So you kind of see it, like, as a chain. And I think that's what separates the first one from everyone else, and then it's kind of stacking on the other ones from there.
Yeah, I think if I'm going to give any critiques in this franchise, I would give the last one more critiques than this one, because I think that one, like I said earlier, I think it tried really hard to be as close to the first one without trying to be the first one, where this one, I feel like, I honestly just feel like they're like, we're just going to, like, take a deep breath. Let's just make a kick-ass movie. Because honestly, that's the thing we have to get back to with this too, is just that this movie, like, the killer, the jump scare, like, half the time, like, they're in the street, the killer would just be there. It's like, there he is. Then they went into the bodega. That was one of, or multiple killers in that scene. Like, they were there. It wasn't just like, oh. Also, the one random scene when Sam's on the phone and then there's a guy walking down the street with a hoodie on, and then he looks at her while he's on the phone. That guy actually scared me more than the killer. That guy was terrifying. That guy looked, I was like, this guy is like, I was like, is that going to end up being the killer? A part of me is like, is that how they're going to do this? I just felt like this movie did such a good job of not trying to be anything. Like, even the last one with, like, the recoil thing, like, all right, we got to come up with something cool and catchy. Now we've done all that. We've, like, even though I know they did, like, the scene, Billy, that you mentioned, and we talked about, like, at the bench, and they did, like, which even Kirby and Mindy with, like, favorite this movie, like, all that. But, like, I just felt like it just, there was a big breath of, like, relaxation, and let's just make a cool movie that people will just go and enjoy. Where the last one, I think people picked apart because it was trying to re-establish this brand. You mentioned Star Wars earlier. I think that was some of the critiques looking back on what was the newest first one? The Force Awakens or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know Star Wars, but I feel like that movie started off, everyone's like, that movie's kick-ass. It's great. And then everyone's like, oh, it's freaking tried so hard to like redo it all. Like, I feel like now we're just so critical with things. And I don't know. I feel like all the Star Wars kind of got a bad rep. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know anything. But I feel like this one, there was just that like, let's just make a cool movie. People are going to go and enjoy themselves. They're not going to overthink it. Like all the things we picked apart here, we didn't care as much. I didn't care that people got stabbed 100 times and lived, where I think in the last one, if they did, I'd be like, this is stupid. Like, this is so dumb. Like literally, I feel like Dewey had less pain put on him and died than eight characters in this movie who lived.
Yeah. This one definitely was more brutal.
Yeah.
And I do like that. You go into it and you're kind of like, all right, like, are they going to like do something different? And they mentioned that whole different thing in the trailers where they're like, oh, this Ghostface is something different. And like, it's not at all. It's literally just the same thing.
It was three people.
It's like pound for pound Scream 2. And they just followed that formula and they built on all the kills and they did it in the, you know, in New York City. And I think it just ended up turning out really, really great. All the kill sequences were good. And like we've been talking about, I feel like the killer reveal like was a little bit predictable. It wasn't anything crazy, but it still landed to an extent. And it still worked. And even that last scene, the act three, act three was crazy, right?
Yes.
I need to go back and watch it, but act three was nuts. Like Sam and Tara back to back, ready to fight them off. Like there's that the scene where she lets her go. That I think was genius. And like just super metaphorical. And you get that little smirk from Jenna Ortega before she falls down, which a lot of people are like, oh, is she the killer? Like in the trailers. And then they're like, no, Sam's just going to let her go. And she's going to go kill one of the killers, which was super, super dope. So yeah, I think they really just set out to make it like build. And then the end sequence was just kind of insanity and sort of a bloodbath, which, you know, they talk so much about act three being a like main cast bloodbath, in Scream 4, they said that. And then like, you know, they referenced that in Scream 1, with the party, and Scream 5 with the party. But yeah, it was just a super bloodbath at the end, which I think just tied the knot on it.
Yeah, I liked it. I overall, I think opinions, we do a ranking out of 11 here. I think this is, for me, it's not a perfect movie. I'm not going to go crazy, but I think it's a 9 out of 11. Like, I thought this was a strong movie and highly recommend. And I'm already looking forward to seeing it again, but I'm also concerned how much I like it, that if I see it again, I'm going to be like, it wasn't as good as when I first saw it. But that's my...
Yeah, I agree. I'd probably give it like an 8, 8.5, just being like more, you know, like... more critical of the Scream movies overall. But I'm with you. I don't like going to see movies again. I feel like you see it once and you pay to see it once and you wait until it comes out where you don't have to pay for it and then you can watch it as many times as you want.
Yep.
But like even just going back before we did this and going back and watching like refresher videos, I'm like, I should probably see this again.
Yeah.
I don't do that a lot. I feel like you don't get that a ton with a lot of movies outside of stuff that you're like super like obsessed with, which I kind of am. But yeah, I would say solid 8.5, 8. I have it ranked second overall in my Scream rankings. So I do Scream 1. I thought this one gets the 2 ranking. Then Scream 2, Scream 4, Scream 5, and Scream 3 is how I would rank them.
Yeah, you don't even have to mention 3 if you don't want.
Scream a lot. There are good parts of Scream. Some parts are really, really bad.
Just the movie's bad. Goofy. There's good parts, but
there are good parts. Yeah,
Piper Perabo's amazing.
I love this movie. I love a lot of the Scream movies because I'm unlike you guys. I only watched one and then didn't watch any of the other ones until literally last year. So my expectation level is different. But I'm like 8.5. It was fun. It was a thrill ride. I was not bored really for a second in this movie. I think that's what this movie does really well is there's no real lulls. Even when they're talking on the bench, it's good comedy. It's good pacing. Dermot Mulroney is my only drawback because not a good actor.
Ooh,
I thought he was terrible.
Oscars.
I don't care. Like Maybe he was bad acting on purpose because he was faking to be a good guy, but he lost his fastball or whatever he had. I thought he was terrible and shameless too. I just don't buy him anyways. He's just kind of a dir face to me. But overall,
so I say something about Courtney Cox. You're over here just destroying a man's career.
We can guy bash his guys, though. We have no right to comment on
that. That's not fair. I can comment on anything. I free will.
But again, loved it. And Ben, it seems like you have some stats here. Do you have any stats on like kills and stuff?
I don't have any stats on. I wouldn't say like you mean in comparison to some of the other movies.
Yeah.
Like what kind of is the kill count?
Yeah.
I don't have any stats for you on kill count. We can look into that really fast.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
The Google machine's pretty, you know.
Yeah. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. There was 3 kills in the first scene. Technically, we didn't see one of them because the body was dismembered, but that counts.
Let's see.
Bodega, there was 2 randos. There's a lot of random people that died in this
There were a lot of random people that, yeah.
I thought that's what made it good. It had to be the highest kill count.
Was it only 10 people? It might have been.
So the 3 Baileys, right?
Right.
Yep, that's 3. The 3 people in the opening scene.
Brooks, who was supposedly Courtney, Gail Weathers' boyfriend in the apartment. Yeah. You have Annika, who was Mindy's girlfriend. You have the doctor, Dr. Henry Czerny, who was
a great kill.
That poor guy.
You have the bodega owner who gets the shoddy. You have Greg.
Ben are looking at the same article.
Are we?
Greg, hold on real quick. About the therapist, that was one of the best kills, really quickly, because one, again, you see the ghost face there. You're like, it's not going to be a ghost face. It's going to be somebody else. It's going to be a jump scare. Smashes the window out and just destroys the guy. Just destroys them.
I like the quick kill, and I think they did it quick. I think they set out to kill him because then it links to the whole Sam's therapist died, kind of.
She's guilty.
Like that kind of thing. I like
the internet's going to turn her into the villain again. I'm going to let you all know this is what happens in the real world. People become the villain because we treat them that way. Sam will be a killer.
I think they needed to do the quick kill with him because they didn't want to eat up too much time.
Yeah, like what they did in the last. Remember the last movie? It was the kid from 13 Reasons Why. I can't think of his name right now. Kind of a star
Dylan Minnette.
Yeah, that scene was like that felt like it was 8 minutes long.
Yeah, no, yeah. Them two. Yeah, that whole building up to it with the food, and then she gets the call and then she's going home.
And the shower.
It really dragged out a lot. I do appreciate the quick kill. I also do like dragging it out and seeing where it goes. Because then you're like, okay, we knew going into that scene that he was going to die. We didn't know it was going to be by literally Ghostface stabbing through the window and getting him in the nose. You know?
Brutal.
Awful way to go. But I'm trying to think if there were any other like super quick kills. It might have been one of the quickest kills in Scream history, honestly.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if there's anybody else that was like, because here's the funny part. Really, the core 4, which by the way, we didn't even talk about that. Great scene.
I had written content on this.
Yep.
I sent it to Billy. I had called them the core 4 before, like a week before even seeing the movie.
Nice.
Because I mean, it's sort of how you classify that stuff. Plus, I'm a Yankees fan. I know.
Just do it.
Yankees.
Billy sucks. Billy's just a bad person. Just a horrible, freaking horrible, horrible man.
But yeah,
he is where he is.
I had wrote core four somewhere in content. I also, and I was way off on how the story was written, but I also did have Ethan as one of the killers.
So I will say that guy. The only like the really good time they had is how he wasn't around that one day he was in finals or whatever, which is such an easy way to like do that, but convenient. But I never found him to be like, because he did such a good job of playing like, why is it always going to be me? Why is it always going to be this guy? Why do I have to die? And the die a virgin line, which probably should have been the most obvious that he's somewhere in it. It's like, am I really going to die a virgin? And it's funny, but I almost was hoping when she said, you are going to die a virgin, he's like, he said, I was really hoping he had like one like quick line, even though he had a knife in his freaking like head and then the TV, like poor guy. That guy got destroyed, by the way. His body is messed. Hey, closed casket. Closed casket.
Well, the thing I liked about this movie was the fact that they had so many archetypal killer characters cast that it did give you a wide variety of prime suspects. In Scream 5, right away, I'm kind of like, it's the boyfriend. It was almost off the bat that I was like, it's him. And this one, they gave you a litany of people that it could be. I never thought it was Kirby, like not even for a second.
Not really, yeah.
But I didn't put two and two together with the police thing and like eliminate her as a suspect with the other guy, Dermot Mulroney's character. Mm-hmm. But overall, it was well done. We're going to find plot holes in every horror movie that we dig into. But thrill ride would be the way I would describe it.
Sexy thrill ride. Sexy thrill ride. Nonstop action. It was great. I think we've kind of putting the scores together, we're giving it a hard 8.5 out of 11. That is Scream 6. Thank God also we can give it its own title again, like not like the weird like Scream 2022. Yeah. It's Scream 6. We're done with it. Just roll with it, people. There's no subtitles, no secondary. We've given some predictions what we think for Scream 7, which is clearly going to happen. I'm assuming we'll get it at some point in mid-2024, probably like maybe a 4th of July release.
Summer blockbuster, yeah.
Yeah, because I think this
after how well this is doing.
Yes.
But yeah, I would say I would definitely peg it summer.
Summer or like a Memorial Day weekend.
And I do think they're going to go back to Hollywood. They're going to go back to LA for this one.
Oh, God. Don't do it. Don't do it, Ben. Stop.
They're going to do it. It's going to be
4th of July. Give me a classic summer camp horror movie.
Ooh.
I would love that.
I could see, I don't know who's going to camp at their ages.
Not summer camp, but like you go away for a vacation.
Oh, well, Bill, you just hedged your bets. That's just saying summer camp. No, I'm just kidding. It's whatever it is.
They go abroad. It's a Euro trip one.
Oh, God. That's going to be like 8, 9, 10. They're going to go to space. We're going Europe. Ghost face across the world. I did also want to just mention, we're wrapping this up, but the subway scene with all the different ghost face masks being there, really cool. I did wonder, and we have great people, great content. Ben, you might do this. I love the people who say, like, who killed who in these movies. I think this one's actually going to be very hard to tell because being three and timing in place, that's going to be hard for them to actually predict because I'm most curious about who killed on the train because it couldn't have been
Ethan. Well, Mindy had to have been stabbed by the girl.
Right.
On the train?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it was Quinn.
Where was that? But I thought
because the dad seemed like he was at the station because after that
was the Kirby scene
from the station. Yeah. Like he calls Sam on his way to where they are. So maybe that's definitely her.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Fair. Maybe. All right. But this one, but I feel like it will not be as easy and certain, like who was the one who shook the ladder? And clearly not the girl, but which one of like
that one was Ethan, depending. Geez.
Because I think Dermot Mulroney's character should have been able to break down a bookcase in front of a door in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Also, Mindy got stabbed a ton in this movie. Yeah. How are these people alive?
Stabbing.
That's going to be the new thing. I want to just know how many people got – how much time people were stabbed. Forget about death.
How many stabs actually happened?
Oh, my God.
I think over 100.
Easy.
I might watch some of the movies and do that and then handicap the next one.
The next one. Because they're all going to try to go up. This one definitely had the most stabs. People were getting stabbed left and right. And little cuts on these count. These little
The twin got stabbed by two people for a good 10 straight seconds of stabbing.
It was just pincushion. And they're like, yeah, it's fine.
I think though they used that tactic to like make it more brutal because in the first three movies, like everyone gets stabbed, but it's not like how much more brutal can you make stabbing scene? More quicker and make it happen just over and over and over again.
And it doesn't hurt. That's how you do it. It just doesn't hurt anymore.
Yeah.
The stabs to the face are always the ones that get me. And then the ones that are even worse are when they don't stab the face like this. They just slash at the face. Those are crazy. Okay. That's just like
ending
anybody who stabs somebody is crazy, but like to slash the face. Jesus.
Of all the things that happen in this movie, what would you rather? Would you rather be the guy who gets diced up in the fridge? I think his name was Greg or something. Would you rather be stabbed in the stomach and pulled down like the girlfriend? Or would you rather be tased in the balls?
What, tased in the balls?
I think everybody would take tased in the
balls. Yeah, you survive that.
Bro. I don't know. I don't think they're the same. I don't think they'll be the same. You can get tased. That stuff can do stuff to your system. I'll take the chopping. I'll take the chopping.
It can give you superpowers.
Will I survive the chopping?
Nope, we're dead. You're dead.
Oh, I'm
dead.
Dead.
The first two, you're dead. The third one,
not dead.
The third one, you don't know for sure. That you don't know for sure. We never saw that guy Frank again. Remember this. We never saw Frank again.
Well, then Sam's on trial.
Yeah.
She might be. I don't know. Dude, I already told you, she is a killer. She's killed a lot, by the way, in these movies. She's killed two people at the end of these movies viciously. Well, Tara technically ended off Richie, but yeah, she's a killer. That's what's going to happen. But yeah, I don't know if I want the tasing of the balls. I feel like that guy's in permanent damage. He could be just in an institute right now, drooling. So just
they haven't missed a step. That was a classic way to end.
There you go. Well, listen, Ben, where can people find your content and you?
So if you want to see some of the Scream content, I know it's most of it was like pre-movie stuff. But we do have a lot of cool stuff up on DraftKings Nation. You can go there. Sports betting content, fantasy content. Billy also helps out a little bit there with video stuff. We also hired a culture editor recently, Merjani Rawls, who's doing a lot of great content, movie reviews. He's doing a bunch of cool stuff. So we have a lot more stuff on the site now. Go over there, check it out. Again, fantasy, sports betting, and a lot of culture stuff. We do a little bit of everything over there.
It is legal in Massachusetts now. People can do it on their apps, even though my account is locked and I need to talk to a tech, but that's a story for another time.
I'm also on Twitter, Ben Zweiman. That's Zweiman, DKN. I don't even tweet about sports. I mostly tweet about pop culture. Billy will know, but that's where you can find me, and that's where you can find the website.
Love it. Thank you very much. Bill, anything you want to tell people about yourself and your horrible social media tweets?
No, not really. I would say watch Yellow Jackets. That was really good. You should be watching The Last of Us. That was excellent as well. And then check out the Mac and Goo. I think you should leave bracket. I helped create that. And then buy the merch at thatsachunky.com. And I've heard it both ways. We'll be doing an episode Thursday night.
Quickly, where are you in? I've heard it both ways. What season?
We are at the end of season 5, so 6, 7, and 8, and the movie's left.
Nice. Now, question for you for the character. I think you should leave bracket. Forget about like people picking all stuff. Who do you think is the best character?
So it was between Bozo dubbed over for me, the Tim one there, just because he's hilarious to the end there. And then the character that might be the same person, I'm going to do a video on this soon, is Ghost House Tim.
Yes.
And just because that opening scene when he's just like, jizz.
So you think those two characters are the same? Because I've seen this theory out there.
I think they could be. I'm going to do a breakdown.
They also have the same video. Haircut. They also have
they
the same.
They don't, like, though. Poof. They don't.
Oh, see, I thought they did. I thought he had the little poof.
Similar.
Up front.
And like the dress is very different. So I'm going to do a video soon breaking down the differences and possibility of similarities. But they both like the same potty mouth humor, which let's be honest, who doesn't?
My son sure does.
Yeah. So those would be my two. Obviously, there's Ruben Rabassa, the Car Focus Group guy. And then I do love all of the Patty Harrison characters. I think new printer Patty.
Yes, please.
Is
you know it's my girl. You know it's my girl.
You mentioned Sam Richardson.
Oh, yeah, he's in there.
Sam Richardson hosting anything in, I think.
Oh, Baby. Yeah,
the Year version.
Baby the Year is a classic. And then the Little Buff Boys is probably one of my favorite.
He just hosts child pageants. That's what he does.
Yes. You know what's a weird, and I actually didn't recognize all the bracket. I didn't notice this one or not. I know it's actually probably a weak character in the overall, but I do think, like, I don't watch a skit a lot, but the, who's the musician? And he's on the stage and the dog humps him.
Herbie Hancock? No.
Yeah. So there's something about that specific character, how ridiculous he is. I don't know. I was watching that one recently. I'm like, this character is ridiculous. And also Blues Brothers, Tim. You know, that's one of my also.
Yeah, that's a great one.
But who do you think is going to win this?
I don't know. It's kind of gone all over the place. The favorites no, he's holding strong. I think it'll be a Tim character. People seem to vote for the Tim characters no matter what. The only one I see sneaking by there is Ruben Rabassa. But I do love the Game Night Howie, Tim Heidecker's character, too. He's sneaky.
I forget about that one, too. Hit the IC all night long. All right, we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, follow along with Ben, Billy, their tweets. They're just – Billy, again, just if you want to just be trolled by this someone who needs high amounts of medication and therapy, please check out at Billy whatever it was, _D, these nuts, 24/7, all in your mouth. Appreciate you guys listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. Hopefully we'll be back soon to do it again. We're not going to make any promises, but listen, have yourself a wonderful day. And Billy, any final words for our fine folks?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Still remembers. Good.